Poop and pee.
We should put on your... Ryan has a Al Jolson record.
I do.
In his possession.
I did not purchase said Al Jolson record in case
you purchased the house.
He is the owner of it, though.
Yeah, but you purchased the house and you own the house now, and it came with the house, so you basically bought it.
That's true. I guess I bought an Al Jolson record.
Yeah. Song
Which
in the South for kids as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. The old man that lived in this house was racist as fuck, and now he's burning in hell, so... If his ghost is still haunting this house, fuck you, dude. You probably shouldn't have been so racist and died a miserable old man. Please don't haunt me. Anyways, hi, everybody. How are you?
Doing well? I'm alright. I've been better.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I'm not good, to be perfectly honest.
Yes, no, I'd imagine.
Obsessed with it right now.
Yeah. Well, you had a little bit of a misfortune. We should, Well, you need people to fucking buy Bill's album.
That's what I want to do, because I don't want to do a fucking GoFundMe. No. I want to, you know... Yeah. I'd rather...
We talked about it on last show. Remember, or a couple shows ago, there was a period in time where both Brian and Bill were in the hospital.
I don't think we ever touched on it. I think we were going to touch on it and then didn't talk about it.
I think we definitely mentioned it, because I think Rustin asked me what was the deal. And turns out Bill got a big fucking bill from the hospital.
To tell me I had a headache.
Yeah.
Tell me I had a fucking headache.
It's a great country we live in.
I don't know what my shit's going to total up to, but I did see the cardiologist on Monday.
Yeah, that ain't.
And now I have to get an echocardiogram,
is that where
CT
you can see
calcium
ghosts?
Score, and then, yeah. That's what it is. No, I got echocardiogram.
Is that like where they put that high C with the Slimer on the cover inside?
No, that's Ecto Cooler.
I see.
It was so good.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Most tasty heart problem ever.
Yes.
fucking specialist and shit like that fucking blow, dude.
Yeah.
What a great country we live in. If only somebody in this country could run on, what is it? Oh, yeah, healthcare.
Social,
yeah, that every other country in the entire fucking world has except for us. Who cares?
People shouldn't get things. You have to earn your health care.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right. No, here's my biggest issue with it, is that at the end of the day, everybody's talking about how to pay the bill. And I've talked about this until I was blue in the face on this podcast, on every podcast I've been on pretty much. Is
with your condition, you should not be talking until you're blue in the face.
I think it's a
pretty
good
condition.
I think it's my
condition.
Feet that I got. Look, I found for first. Make sure the feet don't turn blue. That's my main priority. But nobody's talking about what the price tag is. All that shit that you did to hold you overnight for, you know, bring you two meals.
Well, they had to run tests.
Check in on you. But, like, how much do you think those tests are actually worth?
Not almost a whole year's salary worth. I'll tell you.
$29,000 is what Bill's bill.
That's what my bill is for a night at the hospital, a bunch of tests, and, you know, then they upcharge you the food and all that shit, too. Like, it's all ridiculous. And what it comes down to is, like you said, it's the bill, but the reason the bills are so expensive is because of the deal with the insurance companies and the deals with the drug companies.
Right.
Like, they drive the prices way the fuck up, and it's not like that in other countries.
For no reason, just arbitrarily.
Yeah.
Like, charge whatever the fuck.
Like, when you get surgery in another country, like, if you get a... Like, they don't charge you in most countries, and if they do, it's, like... It's at cost, basically. They're not profiting off of people being sick like we do in this country.
My ex-girlfriend was in Korea, and she got into a motorcycle accident, and she broke her femur or something like that. So I had to get a lot of fucking pins and shit in there. Was in the hospital.
Was she Korean?
No. Brenna McNamara. I don't know.
I didn't know if you had. I don't know how deep this Asian thing went with you. all his girlfriends and wife.
Yes, my wife and my ex-girlfriend both spent a lot of time in Korea. Anyways, I don't know if that's a thing. But
sounds like it.
Yeah, apparently. But so she got a bunch of pins, had to stay in the hospital for like 2 weeks, a bunch of CAT scans, out of pocket. She wasn't even a citizen. Out of pocket, it cost her $450 or something like that.
My sister had to go to get a surgery in South Korea as well.
Yeah.
And they did not give her water. Like, they did it, like, in the evening, and then she, like, spent the entire night trying to get water from these people. Nobody was giving her any fucking water.
Couldn't understand.
No, yeah. And, like, but, like, nobody was also offering her water. How are you in a hospital?
Because they're very...
With somebody after surgery, not going, drink your water, drink your water.
They're very disciplined people. Water is a sign of weakness.
Americans in our water.
Yes. They, I read something the other day that, you know, that book about Trump that came out? Yesterday, Fear or whatever by Bob Woodward.
No.
Did you fear? Okay.
Yeah, I know about it.
Yeah. So it was like this inside the White House sort of deal. And Gary Cohn, who was the economic advisor, who left, since left, took a piece of paper off of his desk where he was going to sign it. Trump was going to sign it to withdraw all of the U.S. forces out of South Korea or whatever. And, he just took it off his desk, and then Trump forgot about it. So it never happened, allegedly, but probably. But, like, also, like, okay. I wouldn't have been, like, everybody was like, oh, how dare he, sir? It's like, well, the people in South Korea fucking hate an American military presence there. So, like, why are we even there? North Korea isn't going to fucking nuke us. They're not going to do shit. All North Korea wants is, like, humanitarian aid and have their dictator... Fucking dictate his ass off. Like, whatever. Go dictate your ass off. The real reason I want a nuclear bomb is so he doesn't turn into Saddam Hussein. That's it. Pure and simple. So we fucking withdraw our fucking troops from there. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, okay.
You know Psy?
Yeah.
Gangnam Style?
Yeah. We talked about this last podcast.
Did we? Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. I'm not gonna fucking...
Let's talk about sports. Yeah, I need something lighter.
Yeah. Browns.
Browns.
Tie
game.
Yeah,
the best, the most Browns thing ever is to end a losing streak by not winning. I am so
that is insane.
Happy about that. Like,
that fucking tweet by Bill Barnwell. Did you see the one that I posted it on Instagram?
No.
Okay, here. I will read it verbatim just so you can truly appreciate the statistic improbability of what happened on Sunday specifically. And that's even removing the... ending your that long of a streak, which losing or winning one game over two seasons is statistical improbability. Like you said, any team is going to buttfuck their way to three or four wins.
Yep.
So when you take the statistical improbability of that and you remove it, and the fact that of NFL ties, period,
yeah,
and you remove it, anyway. Both insanely statistically improbable things.
And
then,
still,
if you remove that and put this game in a vacuum, still... The Browns are +5 in takeaways today. Since the Browns returned to the NFL, teams with a turnover margin of +5 or better in a game are 132. 4.
I know this.
And 1.
I know this now.
The Browns are responsible for 2 of those losses.
Right.
And the tie.
Absolutely. Give a round of applause, everybody.
I'm
they're the best. They're statistically
they're the best
at being
the worst.
Yeah.
They're the best
at
being
the worst. So fucking crazy. There's nobody else that has experienced a team attempt to draft for that long. We had so many chances. Most years we would get 2 picks in the first round. We had so many chances to just draft a decent player.
Oh, yeah.
One player that will live up to a first round draft choice. Since 1999, there's really 2 guys, and the one is a sort of.
Who?
One is a Hall of Famer. You did draft one Hall of Famer.
Sure.
It was as fucking...
As a
maybe
left tackle.
Adrian Peterson is somebody that, you know, could have been taken there, but it was a pretty surefire thing that Joe Thomas...
Also, at the time, they had Jamal Lewis, who was fucking tearing it up.
Yeah.
They didn't really need a running back.
Well, that 2017, well, I mean, a once in a lifetime, because think about back to Adrian Peterson.
Well, now, yes,
like
yes,
that,
yes.
How many running backs have legitimately carried their team to the playoffs?
True, but at the time, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't really on the radar. No. And who's the other one, you say? Myles Garrett looks like he's going to fucking turn out.
Looks like it.
Like,
very
awesome.
Excited about it. It can't be him, but I would say Hayden. Hayden had a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, Hayden was great.
No, maybe Alex Mack, too.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. But, like, they're not with the team, and Hayden, and they're in the window of, like, possibly still could be on the team. Bilal Powell, I just watched that Monday night game. is the longest tenured Jet. Bilal fucking Powell, and he's been on that team for 8 years. Bilal Joe Paul. Hayden. Bilal Powell. Bilal!
His name reminds me of, did you guys watch 30 Rock?
Yeah.
Remember the movie that Jenna was in called The Rural Jerk?
The Rural Jerk.
That's Bilal Powell.
Bilal Powell.
Bilal Powell.
It sounds like
the word for being mushmouth in the Philippines is actually Bilal.
Oh, really? Yeah. It sounds like a night of drinking, and then you pass out. Blah! Pow!
It's spelled different, but it's the same, like, pronunciation.
Blah, blah.
My friend is from Pittsburgh, and she texted me, like, as they were setting up that field goal. She goes, are you watching this game? I said, yeah, they're going to fucking tie. This is in real time. And she said, we're very nervous they're going to lose. I'm at my cousin's house. I said, you shouldn't be. Guaranteed they'll fuck this up, which means I'll be out $50. They'll miss this field goal. I have 20 years of evidence. 4:55. Oh my God, you're right.
It was so bananas when it happened. I just started laughing. Like I was.
Oh, I knew it was a guy.
I did not. I was very excited. I was very impressed.
No, I was excited. I thought it. I'm like, this is gonna be the turning point. This is amazing. And I was like watching the game with grandma. I was streaming it on Instagram Live, and like people were like commenting as they're like, oh, thanks, man. I'm on an airplane or whatever. They couldn't watch it, and then it happened, and I just go. I just start laughing.
Yeah,
my ass.
I mean,
I'm like, of course, that's what happened.
They can't get destroyed with this week. Let's say
I'm not destroyed. I'm actually encouraged.
Yeah, certainly with the defense, man. Yeah. Like that was, and to fight back. Like one thing you can't say about Hugh Jackson is that these teams have never quit on him. They've always.
They all say they like him, which is inexplicable.
Yes, I don't get it from watching Hard Knocks, but if you watch deep in the season while they're down, they are trying to battle back. They're not getting deep in the season when they went 1-31, or 1-15, and now 0-16. Like the end of last season, they had every reason in the world to just fucking coast.
Yeah.
They still tried. They failed, but they tried.
They lost like 7 games by 6 points or less or something like that last
year. God damn.
Todd Haley calling fucking 11 of 10 pass plays in a fucking hurricane to start off the game is inexplicable to me.
There was some weird stuff happening with the play calling.
You had to pass, though.
In their first 2 fucking possessions. They went 3 and out. Well, Tyrod did, but like they didn't fucking give the ball to fucking Carlos Hyde.
I know. There were certainly some questions, but like some people were saying, don't pass.
Well, when we ran the ball, then that one series where we got the touchdown, all we did was run, and we looked good in that. And
the
then
series where we got the touchdown, which the Tyrod touchdown?
No, in the second half. That was the Tyrod touchdown.
The Tyrod touchdown was the only one where we had to go any sort of distance, really.
No,
like the other 2 touchdowns were from turnovers where we had good field position.
But what was the one? Like we
yeah,
had
they
a
got
drive.
The ball in the second half to start the second half.
Was that second half?
Yeah. Okay. And then because they deferred on the toss, and then they fucking.
That was all runs.
Yeah, it was all runs.
It was like 70 yards or 75 yards probably because there was a touchback. So yeah, and it was all run plays. And who ran it in? Hyde?
No, it was Tyrod. Right.
Tyrod ran it
because they got 2 touchdowns in the 4th quarter.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the first touchdown.
Was that the one with the Josh Gordon touchdown?
No, that was the last one we scored.
Yeah. The Hyde one was off of the turnover, and it was almost like there was hardly any field to go.
Okay, so
it
was the time.
That was the one that, remember, Myles Garrett forced the fumble, and Jabril Peppers picked it up, and they were actually trying to see if he fumbled out of the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one where Carlos Hyde scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of the details.
Those were the 2... in the 4th quarter.
Josh Gordon.
And Josh Gordon.
The other
Tyrod
one.
Was the one he ran for 20 yards.
That would have been second half, yeah.
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 His touchdown was in the first half, right? Because we scored a touchdown in the first half.
I feel like we should remember this.
No, they didn't score a touchdown in the first half.
Yes, they did, I guarantee.
But then you're right. It was Tyrod Taylor ran in the first half.
But we ran the ball that whole series, and that was...
Yes. Tyrod looked horrified back there.
He didn't look very good.
But like, he looked scared. He looked like he was...
He was afraid to throw the ball.
But like he kept taking off running. He just like he'd drop back. He'd look up real quick. He'd see any sort of pressure. And instead of using his legs to try and extend the play, like the second he started running, he ran. He wasn't looking downfield.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He was taking off trying to get past the line of scrimmage. And it's like, you know, that's not what we need. And even, like, the designed option they ran that one time. Like a
Yeah, I saw
don't,
that.
Don't do that. Don't have designed quarterback runs.
Okay, so we scored all our points in the second half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
they came back. They fought. Yeah. And it was awesome to see I don't think you can keep forcing that many turnovers because that ball is just squirting out.
Yeah, that was right at the beginning of the third quarter.
Flint and Jimmy and I went to a bar that will remain unnamed. But that bar, they watch, I'll tell you guys later, but they... Every Browns game, they have the halftime huff. They spray fucking paint thinner into a bag and pass it around.
What?
I swear.
What?
Christ, I swear That's to amazing. Fucking Christ. And like, I was it's like I'm good.
Is a bar organized activity?
Yes.
It's not just some random guy sitting at the bar. It's like the employees.
No. There, well, the employees weren't doing it, but like, it was a sanctioned open thing. And I was like, no thanks. And Flint's like, hey, I was like, you're going to fucking seize out, dude. Do not fucking do this. So he did not. He did not.
Good.
Yes. But
he's got health problems too.
Yes. But I was like, all right, this seems like a legit place for a Brown. I'm going to watch some Browns games here now. The halftime off. That's hilarious. But that's how Cleveland fucking does it, even though they lost in a fucking rainstorm. It was so fucking shitty on Sunday, man.
It was garbage. But that's why I like this team, because they didn't let anything get to them. I mean, there was definitely problems with offensive line, and Tyrod's got his issues he's got to sort out. But they gave it their all, and they tied the game, and we didn't lose. We didn't lose.
Yeah, but that's almost worse than losing.
No, it's not. It's better. It's better than losing. Tying is better than losing.
It is, but now you got to face the Saints.
The Aints.
We will see how good our defense really is. It's a good fucking team.
The Aints gave up 48 points to the fucking Ryan Fitzpatrick last week. It ain't like it's fucking... I mean, the Dome will help Tyrod, for sure.
Yep.
I am looking forward to seeing what they can really do, because we definitely find that out Sunday.
Because then we got Thursday night football too. So like our schedule is fucking difficult right off the bat.
Which the Jets? What the fuck, man? Are the fucking Lions that bad? It's week one. You can't judge anything off.
No, everything's still.
The Patriots got fucking ran out of the building last year. The last 2 years.
Yeah, Sam Darnold is the greatest quarterback of all time, but you can't judge anything off week one.
Matt fucking
Stafford.
Oh, Jesus.
Four interceptions.
Man. Yeah, well, that's when Jim Bob Cooter's calling your plays.
Jim Bob Cooter is a great fucking name.
The best name ever.
An amazing name.
But not those, very good play, call. Play calls.
He looks like he belongs in the book that you own. That name sounds like it belongs in the book.
Get back to work, Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter. Put on the sweet sounds of Al Jolson.
Yeah, because we didn't just find Al Jolson. We found Song of the South Tales for Children.
By the way, the Al Jolson cover of that record is just like a circle cutout where the record like label is. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just... And fucking white gloves. Like it's the Ta-da. Most racist fucking thing that you could...
Tad down.
I don't know if that's worth anything. Am I a bad person for selling it and collecting the money?
No, you're trying to fix up your house. Yeah, it's true. Sell it.
Good point.
I'll donate.
It's not in great shape is the problem.
Yeah, there might be some really fucking.
You always see to be like stuff going to fucking pawn shops and shit. And you remember the days when Pawn Shop was or Pawn Stars was the shit.
Yeah.
Everybody got hooked on that shit for a minute.
Early days.
And. People bring stuff in, you're like, that's so fucking cool. And they're like, this is in garbage shape right here. It's worth $20.
Well, that's because they're trying to fucking rip them off.
Yeah, but apparently collectors are very picky. Everything has to look brand new.
Yeah. That's a weird thing to me. Like, I've never been that into, like, anything. A collection. You know what I mean? Like, I just get bored about stuff.
I'm a low-key hoarder, so I've been collecting things my whole life.
Oh, yeah?
I am.
I don't collect. I don't keep anything.
Yeah, neither. I try not to, at least. I have books. Like, I have a lot of books.
Yeah. I have a bunch of records, but...
I got the book in the car.
What?
For Guts.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Oh,
yeah, we should totally do that.
Brian texted us the other day, listening audience, and... asked if we had read that Chuck, what's his last name?
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk, whatever. The unpronounceable.
You know he lost
guy.
All his money?
No, how?
His manager or something stole it all from him.
Did you listen to the Rogan?
No, but Kendra's telling me about it. Hmm. And saying, like, it's crazy. Like, lost all his money.
He's the guy who wrote Fight Club.
Yes. And I do recall, this is like an old short story, like from early 2000s maybe, right?
Something like that, yeah.
I remember when it came out.
Yeah,
because I was talking about it, and I don't know, I don't think I read it. Like, I think I started it and then stopped because...
It's very short.
I had never read it or heard of it.
But I
bought the book.
I couldn't remember what it was called, and he just said the title. But I recall the title.
I spilled 20 ounces of coffee at work earlier. I'm just off today.
Yeah, it happens.
He's
the clumsy boy.
A little jittery.
Maybe it's Brian's belly button trying to get back on the podcast. Brian's belly button is sorry that we spilled water all over the floor. Can I read this? Guts is Brian's belly button?
Yes, please do.
I think that's the way to do it.
I was talking to the lady at work today, who's like our age, about the Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh, fuck yeah. Lil Pete's in Jim Tooze's music cover band.
Yes. That's what he like, isn't he just like a musician now?
He does comedy and like still acts and stuff, but he does several things. He wears a lot of hats, as they say.
I see. Mm-hmm. One, the color of your shirt right
now. That's right. That's actually Big Pete, though. Oh, no.
That was Lil Pete. Yeah. But we were talking about
wearing the red and black flannel.
Yes, exactly how
Pete. If you know Pete and Pete, you know the reference.
Little Easter
we
egg.
Even said it.
An Easter egg. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the one where Artie, the strongest man in the world,
mm-hmm.
it was like a prank war or whatever, and he moved the foundation of the house an eighth of an inch off so he couldn't put the key into the door. He kept hitting it. I was like, that's a funny ass fucking show, man.
Yeah, it is really funny.
And like the guest stars on that were like.
Yeah, they're legit.
Like Iggy Pop was, was it Mona's dad or something like that?
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch some of those because that was a weird, cool show.
It's got
to
be on. All
right, so I'm going to read it as Brian's belly button.
This whole thing?
Yeah. Is that too long?
Yeah, it's like 4 pages, but it might be a little.
It's a long time to commit to the bit.
Yeah.
I think it'll be our best podcast ever.
Greatest podcast ever.
Also, just before we read this, this is something that apparently during his live readings while touring after writing the book...
People pass out.
35 people passed out.
Which is badass. All right, Brian's belly button, take it away.
Inhale! Take in as much air as you can. This story should last about as long as you can hold your breath, and then just a little bit longer. So listen as fast as you can. A friend of mine, when he was 13 years old, he heard about pegging. This is when a guy gets banged up the butt with a dildo. Stimulate the prostate gland hard enough, and the rumor is you can have explosive hands-free orgasms. At that age, this friend's a little sex maniac. He's always jonesing for a better way to get his rocks off. He goes out to buy a carrot and some petroleum jelly to conduct a little private research. When he pictures how it's going to look at the supermarket check stand, the lonely carrot and petroleum jelly rolling down the conveyor belt toward the grocery store cashier, all the shoppers are waiting in line watching, everyone seeing the big evening he has planned.
You're tired of doing the voice, aren't you?
But I'm also getting into it. So my friend, he buys milk and eggs and sugar and a carrot. And all the ingredients for a carrot cake. And Vaseline. He's like he's going home to stick a carrot up his butt. At home, he whittles. At home, he whittles the carrot into a blunt tool. He swabs it with grease and grinds his ass down on it. Then nothing. No orgasm. Nothing happens except it hurts. Then this kid, his mom yells, it's supper time. She says to come down right now. He works the carrot out and stashes a slippery, filthy thing in the dirty clothes under his bed. After dinner, he goes to find the carrot and it's gone. All his dirty clothes while he ate dinner His mom grabbed them all to do laundry. No way could she not find the carrot, carefully shaped with a paring knife from her kitchen, still shiny with wood and stinky. This friend of mine, he waits months under a black cloud, waiting for his folks to confront him, and they never do. Ever. Even now, he's grown up, that invisible carrot hangs over every Christmas dinner, every birthday party, every Easter party with his kids, his parents, grandkids. That ghost carrot is hovering all over all of them. That's something too awful to name. People in France have a phrase, spirit of the stairway. In French, it's spirit de escalier. Oh, I'm pretty good at French. It means at the moment when you find the answer, but it's too late. Say you're at a party and someone insults you. You have to say something, so under pressure with everybody watching, you say something lame. But the moment you leave the party, as you start down the stairway, then magic. You come up with the perfect thing you should have said. The perfect crippling down, put down. That's the spirit of the stairway. The trouble is, I'm going to stop it. I'll come back to it. The trouble is, even the French don't have a phrase for the stupid things you actually do, say, under pressure. Those stupid, desperate things you actually think or do. Some deeds are too low to even get a name, too low to even get talked about. Looking back, kids psych experts, school counselors now say that most of the last peak in teen suicide was kids trying to choke while they beat off. Their folks would find them a towel twisted around the kid's neck, towel tied it to the rod in the bedroom, closet their kid dead. Dead sperm everywhere. Of course, the folks cleaned up. They put some pants on their kids. They made it look better. Intentional, at least. The regular kind of sad teen suicide. So we want to take a couple of verses?
Yeah.
Or like popcorn here? Like,
yeah.
Pass it around. Okay. Another friend of mine, a kid from school, his older brother in the Navy, said how guys in the Middle East jack off different than we do here. This brother was stationed in some camel country where the public market sells what could be fancy letter openers. Each fancy tool is just a thin rod of polished brass or silver, maybe as long as your hand, with a big tip at the end, at one end, either a big metal ball or the kind of fancy carved handle you'd see on a sword. This Navy brother says how Arab guys get their dick hard and then insert this metal rod inside the whole length of their boner.
What? In the people?
Right? Yeah.
Sounding.
Huh?
It's a thing. It's called sounding.
Yeah, sounding.
Is it? Well, yeah. I've never heard of this before. Oh, yeah, I figured people were sticking things in their pee hole. Does that not hurt like a motherfucker? Even if you loop it up like crazy?
I'm sure it does.
Which is, I always thought the MLS team from Seattle was very inappropriate with their mascot.
What is it? What?
The Seattle Sounders.
Sounders. Okay, got it.
They jack off with the rod inside, and it makes getting off so much better, more intense. It's this big brother who travels around the world sending back French phrases, Russian phrases, helpful jack-off tips. After this, the little brother, one day he doesn't show up at school. Then that night, he calls to ask if I'll pick up his homework for the next couple of weeks, because he's in the hospital. He's got to share a room with old people getting their guts worked on. He says how all have to share the same television. All he's got for privacy is a curtain. His folks don't come and visit. On the phone, he says how right now his folks could just kill his big brother in the Navy. On the phone, the kid says how the day before he was just a little stoned. At home in his bedroom, he was flopped on the bed. He was lighting a candle and flipping through some old porno magazines, getting ready to beat off. This is after he's heard from his Navy brother. That helpful hint about how Arabs beat off, the kid looks around for something that might do the job. A ballpoint pen's too big. A pencil's too big and rough. But dip down the side of the candle, there's a thin, smooth ridge of wax that just might work. With just the tip of one finger, this kid snaps the long ridge off, the long ridge of wax off the candle. He rolls it smooth between the palms of his hands, long, smooth, and thin. Stoned and horny, he slips it down inside, deeper and deeper into the piss slit of his boner.
What a fucking dumb person. Like, wax melts. All right, keep going.
Now, at this point, you think you have a good handle on what this story is.
I don't know what to expect.
You sure as fucking shit don't.
Okay.
All right. With a good hand of the wax still poking out the top, he gets to work. Even now, he says those Arab guys are pretty damn smart. They've totally reinvented jacking off. Flat on his back in bed, things are getting so good this kid can't keep track of the wax. He's one good squeeze from shooting his wad when the wax isn't sticking out anymore. The thin wax rod, it slipped inside. All the way inside. So deep inside he can't even feel the lump of it inside his piss tube. From downstairs, his mom shouts, "It's supper time." She says to come down right now. This wax kid and the carrot kid are different people, but we all live pretty much the same life. It's after dinner when the kid's guts start to hurt. It's wax, so he figured maybe it would just melt inside him and he'd piss it out. Now his back hurts, his kidneys. He can't stand straight. This kid talking on the phone from his hospital bed in the background, you can hear bells ding, people screaming, game shows. The x-rays show the truth, something long and thin bent double inside his bladder. This long, thin V inside him, it's collecting all the minerals in his piss. It's getting bigger and more rough, coated with crystals of calcium. It's bumping around, ripping up the sort of the soft lining in his bladder, blocking his piss from getting out. His kidneys are backed up. What little that leaks out his dick is red with blood. This kid with his folks, his whole family, them looking at the black x-ray with the doctor and the nurses standing there, the big V of wax glowing white for everybody to see. He has to tell the truth, the way Arabs get off. What his big brother wrote to him from the Navy. On the phone right now, he starts to cry. They paid for the bladder operation with his college fund. One stupid mistake and now he'll never be a lawyer. Sticking stuff inside yourself. Sticking yourself inside stuff. A candle in your dick or your head in a noose. We knew it was going to be big trouble. What got me in trouble, I called it pearl diving. This meant whacking off underwater. Sitting on the bottom of the deep end of my parents' swimming pool, with one deep breath, I'd kick my way to the bottom and slip off my swim trunks. I'd sit down there for 2 or 3, 4 minutes even. Just from jacking off, I had huge lung capacity. If I had the house to myself, I'd do this all afternoon. After I'd finally pump out my stuff, my sperm, it would have just hang there in big, fat, milky gobs. After that, it was more diving, to catch it all, to collect it and wipe each handful in a towel. That's why it's called pearl diving. Even with chlorine, there was my sister to worry about. Or Christ Almighty, my mom. That used to be my worst fear in the world. My teenage virgin sister thinking she's just getting fat and giving birth to a two-headed retard baby. Both the heads looking just like me. Me, the father and the uncle. In the end, it's never what you worry about that gets you. The best part of pearl diving was the inlet port for the swimming pool filter on the circulation pump. The best part was getting naked and sitting on it. Something we've all talked quite a bit about on this podcast. As the French would say, who doesn't like getting their butt sucked? Still, 1 minute you're just a kid getting off, and the next minute, you'll never be a lawyer. 1 minute, I'm sitting on the bottom, and the sky is wavy, light blue through 8 feet of water above my head. The world is silent except for the heartbeat in my ears. My yellow striped swim trunks are looped around my neck for safekeeping, just in case a friend, a neighbor, anybody shows up to ask why I skip football practice. The steady suck of the pool inlet hole is lapping at me, and I'm grinding my skinny white ass around that feeling. 1 minute, I've got enough air, and my dick's in my hand, my folks are gone at their work, and my sister's got ballet. Nobody's supposed to be home for hours. My hand brings me right to getting off, and I stop. I swim up to catch another big breath, I dive down and settle on the bottom. I do this again and again. This must be why girls want to sit on your face. The suction is like taking a dump that never ends. My dick hard and getting my butt eaten out. I do not need air. My heart beat in my ears. I stay under until bright stars of light start worming around in my eyes. My legs straight out. The back of each knee rubbed raw against the concrete bottom. My toes are turning blue. And my toes and fingers wrinkled from being so long in the water. And then I let it happen. The big white gobs started sprouting. The pearls. It's then I need some air. But when I go to kick off against the bottom, I can't. I can't get my feet under me. My ass is stuck. Emergency paramedics will tell you that every year about 150 people get stuck this way, sucked by a circulation pump. Get your long hair caught or your ass, and you're going to drown. Every year, tons of people do, most of them in Florida. People just don't talk about it. Not even French people talk about everything. Getting one knee up, getting 1 foot tucked under me, I go to half standing when I feel the tug against my butt. Getting my other foot under me, I kick off against the bottom. I'm kicking free, not touching the concrete, but not getting to the air either. Still kicking water, thrashing with both my arms. I'm maybe halfway to the surface, but not going higher. The heartbeat inside my head getting loud and fast. The bright sparks of light crossing and crisscrossing my eyes. This is longer than I remember. I turn and look back, but it doesn't make sense. This thick rope, some kind of snake, white, blue-white and braided with veins, has come up out of the pool drain, and it's holding on to my butt. Some of the veins are leaking blood, red blood that looks black underwater, and drifts away from little rips in the pale skin of the snake. The blood trails away, disappearing in the water, and inside the snake's thin, blue-white skin, you can see lumps of some half-digested meal. That's the only way this makes sense. Some horrible sea monster, a serpent that's never seen the light of day, that's been hiding in the dark bottom of the pool drain waiting to eat me. So I kick at it, at the slippery, rubbery, knotted skin and veins of it. The more and more of it seems to pull out of the pool drain. It's maybe as long as my leg now. As long as my leg now. I lost my place. But still holding tight around my butthole. With another kick, I'm an inch closer to getting another breath. Still feeling the snake tug at my ass. I'm an inch closer to my escape. Knotted inside the snake, you can see corn and peanuts. You can see a long, bright orange ball. It's the kind of horse pill vitamin my dad makes me take to help me put on weight, to get a football scholarship, with extra iron and omega-3 fatty acids. I'm seeing that vitamin pill that saves. It's seeing that vitamin pill that saves my life. It's not a snake. It's my large intestine. My colon pulled out of me. What doctors call prolapsed. It's my guts sucked into the drain.
Look.
Paramedics will tell you a swimming pool pump pulls 80 gallons of water every minute. That's about 400 pounds of pressure. The big problem is we're all connected together inside. Your ass is just the far end of your mouth. If I let go, the pump keeps working, unraveling my insides until it's got my tongue. Imagine taking a 400-pound shit, and you can see how this might turn out your insides. What I can tell you is your guts don't feel much pain, not the way your skin feels pain. The stuff you're digesting, doctors call it fecal matter. Higher up is chyme, pockets of a thin, runny mess studded with corn and peanuts and round green peas. That's all this soup of blood and corn, shit and sperm, and peanuts floating around me. Even with my guts unraveling out my ass, me holding on to what's left, even then, my first want is someone to somehow get my swimsuit back on. God forbid my folks see my dick. On one hand, holding a fist around my ass, the other hand snags my yellow striped swim trunks and pulls them from around my neck. Still getting into them is impossible. You want to feel your intestines, go buy a pack of those lambskin condoms. Take one out and unroll it. Pack it with peanut butter, smear it with petroleum jelly, and hold it underwater. Then try to tear it. Try to pull it in half. It's too tough and rubbery. It's so slimy you can't hold on. A lambskin condom. That's just plain old intestine. Now you can see what I'm up against. You let go for a second and you're gutted. You swim for the surface for a breath and you're gutted. You don't swim, you drown. It's a choice between being dead right now or a minute from right now. What my folks will find after work is a big naked fetus curled on itself, floating in the cloudy water of their backyard pool, tethered to the bottom by a thick rope of veins and twisted guts. The opposite of a kid hanging himself to death while he jacks off. This is the baby they brought home from the hospital 13 years ago. Here's the kid they hoped would snag a football scholarship and get an MBA. We care for them in their old age. Here's all their hopes and dreams, floating here naked and dead, all around in big milky pearls of wasted sperm. Either way, either that or my folks will find me wrapped in a bloody towel, clapped halfway from the pool to the kitchen telephone. The ragged, torn scrap of my gut still hanging out the leg of my yellow striped swim trunks. What the French won't talk about. That's Big Brother in the Navy. He taught us one... Here, your turn now.
Where are you at?
Right there.
Fucking reading
it's about five or six pages. Yeah, taking forever.
A Russian phrase, the way we say I need that like I need a hole in my head, Russian people say. I need that like I need teeth in my asshole. Mignette something, blah, 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 in Russian. These stories you hear about how animals caught in a trap will chew off their leg, well, any coyote will tell you a couple of bites beats the hell out of being dead. Hell, even if you're Russian, someday you just might want those teeth. Otherwise, what you have to do is you have to twist around. You hook one elbow behind your knee and pull the leg into your face. You bite and you snap at your own ass. You run out of air and you will chew... You run out of air and you will chew through anything to get through the next breath. It's not something that you want to tell a girl on the first date, not if you expect a kiss goodnight. If I told you how it tasted, you would never, ever want to eat calamari. It's hard to say what my parents were most disgusted by, how I got in trouble or how I'd saved myself. After the hospital, my mom said, "You didn't know what you were doing, honey. You were in shock." And then she learned how to cook poached eggs. All those people grossed out or feeling sorry for me. I need that like I need teeth in my asshole. Nowadays, people always tell me that I look too skinny. People at dinner parties get all quiet and pissed off when I don't eat the pot roast they cooked. Pot roast kills me. Baked ham. Anything that hangs around inside my guts for longer than a couple hours that comes out still food. Home-cooked lima beans or chunky light tuna fish. I'll stand up and I'll find it still sitting there in the toilet. After you have a radical bowel resection, you don't digest meat so great. Most people, you have had five feet of large intestine. I'm lucky to just have 6 inches. So I never got a football scholarship, never got an MBA. Both my friends, the Wax Kid and the Carrot Kid, they grew up, got big, but I never weighed a pound more than I did the day when I was 13. Another big problem was my folks paid a lot of good money for that swimming pool. In the end, my dad just told the pool guy it was a dog. The family dog fell in and drowned. The dead body got pulled into the pump. Even when the pool guy cracked open the filter casing and fished out a rubbery tube, a watery hunk of intestine with a big orange vitamin pill inside, even then my dad still said, "The dog was fucking nuts, man." Even from my upstairs bedroom, you could hear my old man say, "We couldn't trust that dog alone for a second." Then my sister missed her period. Even after changing the pool water, after they sold the house and we moved to another state, after my sister's abortion, even then my folks would never mention it again, ever. That is my family's invisible carrot. Now you can take a good deep breath because I still have not.
Thoughts?
Ouch.
It's gross.
It's real gross.
It's so fucking...
It's so
gross. In depth.
Yeah. And just everything, like... The build up with the other ones, like they're, you know, it's very disturbing.
It's from a fucked up individual.
Yep.
I've been enjoying this book very much. I'm a little more than halfway through it. It's like a bunch of little short stories. They're not that bad, but they're all like shitty, crazy stories of things that happen to people. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of tied through this like backstory of all these writers away at a retreat, but like they're stuck.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't want to go swimming for a while.
I mean,
just don't put your butthole on.
Yeah, just don't put your
unless it's a jet.
I'll swim.
If it's a jet, it's like a
one time when we were, I was driving to New York City with Kendra, my ex-wife, and while we were on the way, we stopped in the middle of the night, like it's like 12:30, at a cheap hotel, it was like a Ramada in the Poconos.
Poconos. It was snowing.
Yeah, so we stayed in the Poconos for a night, and. Our room had a hot tub in it. Mm-hmm. And so we go in the hot tub, and I was shooting water up my butt, and then farting it back in. Well, shooting it back into the tub, really grossing Kendra out. And I was like, yeah, you get a lot of water up your butt for those jets.
Wait, were you standing up and like...
I
fell my butt up.
That's so gross.
Right after I did it, she's like jumps out of the water.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, that was inside your butt.
And it wasn't right to do, but
you're gonna give her a yeast infection.
I guess I only did it.
You ever
time.
Use mouthwash and you spit it out and you find some shit in there?
Yeah.
Like prepare for it until the water.
Yeah, but it was funny to just
Sit down, Mike.
Part of, you know, just shit it all out.
That's hilarious.
Like a little boy. So you should have been spitting it out, like, in post. So it's going both ends.
I used to have this thing I do where I don't know why it felt so good, but like when they call for adult swim at the pool,
yeah,
I would just keep jumping in and out of the pool, like submerging myself and jumping up, and I'd do it like really slowly. I'd be like the last person to pull your time, and I don't know why that felt so good on my dick, but like to this day I remember my dick feeling amazing doing that and doing it every time.
That's
I can't explain.
Glory days.
Nothing was happening on my butt either. It's a shame.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. You had your bat mitzvah recently. Not recently, but recently enough.
Yeah,
like,
recently
like
enough.
30 years.
Recently enough.
That's for sure. Have you know? I don't like fucking. I don't like getting your asshole is divine, but like a finger or anything like that, I'm not a big fan of.
I tried it once. I got fingered once.
Oh,
and it felt cool. Like Bill describes it as pooping fingers.
Yeah, but they figure out how to do it right and they get the right spot. It's not about the fingering, it's about the pressure on the prostate.
Right,
when
right.
You get the pressure on the prostate, it's fucking fantastic.
But I don't know if I could ever relax enough to enjoy that while I feel like she's going to pull her finger out and like a big trail of dump is going to come with it.
Well, that's why you got to make sure everything's clean. Like, it's just...
You can clean your butthole all you want, but you can't make sure that, you know...
You got animals. You got to go to Ramada Inn in the Poconos.
Yeah. And just clean yourself out of it.
Fucking water up your butt.
Poconos.
Where's the Poconos at? Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
That's from Always Sunny.
Poconos?
The Poconos.
Poconos. There's also an episode of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is a fucking amazing show.
I never really got into it. Dude, I tried it.
So
I wasn't a big
good.
Fan.
It's so good. It's got some of the darkest humor that's really...
I'm loving
I love it.
Lodge 49, the show that follows Better Call Saul.
I don't know why,
but I'm liking it. It's not really that funny. It's just good.
It's just good. That's cool.
I just watched Mayans yesterday, the first two episodes. That's pretty good.
That's good.
I watched the first episode. I got the second one DVR.
It's like Mexican Sons of Anarchy.
Like at first, I was watching with Sarah and she's being all fucking jaded. Going, it's exactly what you think it would be.
Yeah.
And then she fell asleep. No, but when you keep watching, I did not expect for him, spoiler alert, didn't expect him to be a snitch.
I did. He came up from college, like at the, you know what I mean? Like, oh.
You expect him to be a snitch, though? I assumed that it was just because his brother's in the gang, too.
Because he talked to his dad, and he's like, I don't want to involve you deeper, you know, or do they know? Is that what he said? It's like, yeah, he's a fucking snitch.
I didn't pick up on that.
He's a fucking, like, I don't know. Well, I assume they're going to use Robert Patrick Moore and the Sons, because... By the way, which, you know that big shootout that they fucking, this aired 2 weeks ago.
They were just
the first.
Shooting people in the
head. Yeah, exactly. And like the police aren't fucking,
no,
like, there's like 12
gigantic,
fucking, yeah.
This, that
in
would
a
be
small town, like
fucking
semi-national, yeah.
National news.
It
CNN.
Was national news. Remember a couple of years ago in Vegas at like a casino off the strip, or no, it was Reno. There was like a big Hell's Angels, and I think it was against the Mongols, and like dozens of guys got killed, but it was like a huge fucking...
Dozens of guys?
I think a dozen people got killed. Bill, look that up.
Well, what?
Or somebody look it up with access to their fucking phones.
Vegas biker shooting?
Yes. Or Reno biker shooting. I want to say 2012 or 13, but it was nuts. There's like security cam footage of them like...
You want to see Alan's shirt for Sunday at the Ozzy concert?
Yes, 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 yes.
It is fucking amazing.
Wait, what?
Because you have to keep in mind that Sharon Osbourne works at CBS and who just got shit canned at CBS.
Oh, I thought you said the CBS.
No,
I was like,
CBS.
What? Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so here's the shirt. You know the guy that worked at CBS? The
CEO.
That just got fired?
No.
The horribly... unpronounceable.
This is the shirt that Alan's gonna wear at the Ozzy concert on Sunday.
I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, which is
oh
hilarious.
God, that's amazing.
When fucking, do you remember when Charlie Sheen was doing his whole fucking Tiger Blood thing?
Yes.
I don't see anything where dozens got killed.
Okay, how many people got killed though? A bunch, or maybe dozens were injured. It was like they shot up a fucking town, man.
Maybe this isn't the one. Back in 2013?
Yeah, that must be it. How many people got killed?
It doesn't really say. But it doesn't say dozens.
Well, maybe not. Somebody look that up and fucking... Anyways, the point is that, like, all the wanton violence... And I guess I don't really watch Sons of Anarchy, to be honest with you. I watched
that show was great. So you're just watching Mayans and not watching Sons of Anarchy?
I've seen it. Like, I just didn't follow it, like, in order. You know, I've seen enough episodes where I pieced together what was going on. Just by virtue of flipping through channels.
That show's really good.
Yeah. But anyways, like, I don't know. I assume that they're going to fucking do the Sons of Anarchy tie-in there because fucking Robert Patrick is in, like, they showed the back of his...
Yeah, the sun showed up to help him.
Yeah, and
they'll probably be like the Mayans were in Sons of Anarchy.
Weren't they like against one another in Sons of Anarchy? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Kind of. So it was like the one was power hungry, but they did do a lot of shit together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Anyways, I want to buy a motorcycle.
Get your house together first.
Yeah,
yeah. Eventually. Cool.
All right, that it for this one?
Yeah, why not?
All right, go Browns.
We're in football season. Let's give a fucking sleeper pick for... Remember when we did this last year?
Who am I? Sleeper pick, yeah. Sleeper pick this... Like, someone that's going to have a big game?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with... what's the guy's
name? Well, sleeper would be somebody you don't expect to have a decent game to have a big game.
I think... Ben Watson's going to have a big game against the Browns.
Ben Watson, I cannot believe that he's still playing football. He's got to be 40 years old.
I think 36 or 38, one of the two.
That's a lot. That's
he's
football.
Been playing. He was in the fucking...
so is it Patriots?
I'm going Philip Dorsett.
Okay.
With the Patriots. He was a first-round pick like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Tom Brady found him. I want to say he was like 6-6.
You see Corey Coleman sign with the Patriots?
Yes. I'm not high on that. I think he'll be gone
soon.
He's
going to wash out in a month.
But let me say, Philip Rivers, I think, is going to have a huge season.
Yeah, for sure.
They're the sexy pick.
Philip Rivers.
They're the fucking sexy pick to win the AFC West, which I don't see that. By the way, I cannot fucking tell you how much it makes me happy that John Gruden is an unmitigated fucking disaster. $100 million they're gonna fucking owe that guy. He's gonna get fired after this year. They're gonna go fucking 1-15, man.
I can't see that.
I can't see
they're
that.
They're gonna be
awful.
I
think they win 7 games.
The Rams are a big time Super Bowl pick too after how much they spent.
I turned that game off at halftime when they were fucking and fucking Oakland was dominating that game, and then the next day I looked at it and I was like, oh wow, they really fucking got their ass kicked. That's so funny to me about
that Sunday night game was fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
was
that was
a
awesome
beast.
But yes, he's
we'll see if we'll see
the
what
second
is,
round of the fantasy draft, but he's still
I fucking kicked ass this week, baby.
Did you? Who did you beat?
Brassfield.
I beat Spider and my team did okay. Tyreek Hill was monstrous.
I beat
you
Lima.
Got the three Saints people though.
Yeah.
Lamar Miller. Miller, baby, that was a good
and
pickup.
Sam's one of the people in this league that I feel can win games, so beating him was good.
I
lost by 1 point. 1 point in my other league, my work league, I lost by one fucking point because of that pick six, and then Greg Zuerlein kicked the extra point.
That
I was gonna win, and then that happened, and I'm like, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
Why would they kick the extra point? That's fucking stupid. Was it tied?
No, it was a blowout at that point, but they had to because there's still time on the clock.
My sleeper pick is Will Disley, tight end for Seattle, because he had 100-plus yards and a touchdown, and Greg Olsen got hurt and was out for the season, so I had to pick him up waiver wire. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that he
I had to go waiver wires in my other league, too.
Somebody picked up Jesse James on Tuesday, and on Monday, I couldn't switch players because it was still that week.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I got to remember to pick Jesse James from Pittsburgh, and somebody fucking
snapped
him up.
Him. Yeah. But he's one of those guys that he'll have a game like he had Sunday,
right?
And then he won't score. He'll score
which is
three
fine,
points.
But every other there's like
that's
fucking five
good
tight
ends.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just gotta fucking roll the dice with everybody else. So.
I Kittle had a good game for me, but I wasn't starting him. I was starting Ben Watson.
Oh, so you dropped Ben Watson? I picked him up. No, that's a different league. Sorry, I'm confusing my leagues.
Man.
I picked up Ben Watson for
Njoku,
league.
I think. Who has Njoku? I bet that would be it.
I don't know, but he was overdrafted this year. We'll see what happens with him in the long run, but people are taking him pretty high.
His hands are just so inconsistent. So inconsistent. All right. That's all.
Yeah.
Love you. Bye.
Buy my album so I can pay
my
medical
bills.
Buy Bill's album.